In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You are not a mistake, for all of your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I brought you forth on the day you were born.
I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I'm not distant and angry, but I'm the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore.
And I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. All I want to show you is great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you all the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus.
For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you received the gift of my son Jesus, you received me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. And I have always been father and will always be father. My question is this: will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love your Father, God Almighty. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the truth of that. We thank you for all of those passages from the Bible, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you are the same today as you were at the very beginning. You knew that we were all going to be sitting here today, Lord Jesus. You know everything about us. We thank you. We thank you for your love for us. And we offer it back to you, Lord. All of the things that you have given to us, we offer to you as a blessing through the way that we live and the way that we go about and use those blessings, Lord Jesus. Amen. So it's quite fitting, I think, in many ways, to have the offering right now. So I have some helpers, I do believe. Yes, Poppy and Dulcie. That's great. I'm going to pass around the offering. And while that takes place, there are a few new faces here today, so why not just have a chat with whoever sat next to you? Should it be your wife, like in Humphrey's situation? Maybe just turn around and have a chat with somebody else. Okay, there are many ways to give. You'll see that there's a QR code in the buckets. You can also give via card reader on the counter there.
Okay, everyone. Shall we give thanks for all the gifts? I'm just going to pray over the gifts that have been given. Thank you, everyone, for your generosity, and it's all for the Father. So, Lord God, we just thank you so much for the money that has been given today. Lord, we pray that you bless it to this church and to all the things that it needs to go towards, Lord God. And I just pray that you just multiply it, Lord, and we thank you for it. All that we give you is already yours, Lord God. Just multiply it and use it to your glory. Amen. So we've got a testimony and thankfulness from Simon Mayer, and he's going to come and speak now, as it's Father's Day.
Okay, you've got to appreciate my T-shirt. This was This is a Father's Day present from Emily and Bethany and Jack. In case you forget their names, they've put their names on them. Emily, I think, sort of finalised the design and put herself as the largest mushroom in the middle. And Emily's joining me this morning. All right for some who finished their GCSEs. Woo-hoo! Her sister Bethany is at home revising because she hasn't finished her GCSEs, so but she will have finished them by Tuesday, so that's good. I've brought with me a twopence piece. Emily, have you seen this twopence piece before?
Very funny, yeah.
What happened with this twopence piece? What did you do with it?
I decided to eat it.
So when Emily was three, so it is the same twopence piece. I was in the kitchen just doing a little bit of washing up. Julie was upstairs asleep recovering because Jack had just been born and she was, you know, had another newborn in the house. And I was in charge of looking after Bethany and Emily, who, of course, I put in front of CBeebies while I was doing the washing up. Emily came into the kitchen and said, I just swallowed some money. She looked a little pale. And I was like, what, play money or real money? She said, real money. And then without going into too much graphic detail, she started, you know, that was very nice. So I got onto the doctors and straight through to the emergency line, and they led me and guided me through the steps, which involved getting Emily to hospital very quickly. And I drove Emily to hospital. Julie never quite has, she loves reminding me that I also stopped to pay for parking, as a responsible citizen would, not really realizing the situation was so serious until we got in there and, you know, a whole team surrounded us very quickly. We were seen straight away. And after doing an x-ray, I think they realized that this twopence piece was actually lodged just above Emily's airway, and that if it moved slightly, that it would block her airway. And they had to get her into theater straight away and get it out, which they did, wheeled her off straight away, and it wasn't until she was put asleep and in the operating theatre that I realised just how serious it was. Yeah, then it hit me. As you can see, Emily is still alive. Woohoo! And not only that, but is thriving and doing very well. What do you like doing with your spare time?
Dance.
How much dance?
A lot of dance.
Yeah. Emily does a lot of dance, and you know, if you know Emily, you know that she lives life 110%. She throws herself into absolutely everything, and is just an absolute joy to be around. And I suppose the reason I wanted us to tell this story is just to remind myself and to remind us that we are here because of the goodness of God. Emily is still alive today because of the goodness of God, not because of my good parenting, and in spite of my neglectful parenting on many occasions, my children seem to be turning out okay. And I can only put that down to the goodness and the grace of God. Even what he's given me to be a father in my better moments comes from his grace. And I also believe from the prayers of the generations before me that have continued to pray for not only me, but my children and their children. And I feel we're carried along by that. It is all down to the grace of God, which is your middle name, isn't it? Yeah, Emily Grace. So, anything you want to add? I feel like I'm hogging it.
Said it already.
As usual. It's good. I don't get a word in at dinner time, so this is my opportunity. Dads, if you ever want to get a word in, just stand up the front of a crowded room with a microphone and, you know, you can say as much as you like. Have all of the conversational moments. That's great. Thank you,
Simon. So we're going to have a talk this morning. It's quite orientated towards the children, but it's something for everybody. It's going to be the two Hannah and Hannah here, Megan and Paul. And there's a little bit of, there's some props, and it's going to be quite interactive. So do you want to come up? So the talk today is about fathers of the Old Testament. We're going to talk about six different fathers of the Old Testament: Adam, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, David, and Joseph. And while Paul prepares himself, I need to hop over there and hand you the mic.
Hello, everyone. So we are going to start with, maybe you can guess, the first man created. Yeah, go on. Okay, so Adam not only was the first man ever created, he happened to be the first father. Surprise or shocker, right? But Adam, he had a downfall. He listened to the advice of others, Eve, and ate from the forbidden tree, even though God had already instructed him not to. This caused Adam to be led astray. After this, he lied and made excuses when God asked him what had happened, rather than just admitting the truth and being upfront with God, which led to the feeling of shame, guilt, and trying to hide from God. What does this teach us? God already knows when we mess up, so it's better to be upfront and honest with him. And also, we need to hold on to what God tells us first before listening to others. Thanks so much, Adam. Up next, we have a man who built a very large boat. You might even call it an ark. Noah, are you anywhere to be found? That's all right. I think it took quite a long time to build the boat, which we will find. While Noah was building the boat, because it took so long, I would dare say people thought he was crazy. Okay, thank you, Noah, for showing up today. You happened to show us a good example of what it looks like to obey God. Noah was faithful to God, and he showed how being faithful to God can take a lifelong commitment, specifically 120 years before what God had said came to pass, the flood. But he consistently worked at building the ark, collecting the supplies, the animals that needed to fill the ark, and then the flood came. The boat floated. The animals survived. The flood left, and they got off the boat, and Noah and his family survived, which was great. But then Noah decided to make a vineyard, drink some wine a little too often. Well, Noah drank wine a little too often and became a drunkard. Noah did show us that it can take a long time before we see what God has promised us. He was a good, good man. And it's important, while we're in the waiting season, to keep working towards what God has told us to keep working on. Thank you, Noah.
Okay, so next up, we have Abraham. I don't know where Abraham has gone. There we go. Okay, so Abraham, now he was known as the father of the Jewish nation. He was a man who was faithful and obedient to God. He trusted God, even with the life of his son. Yep. So even when God asked him to do something seemingly crazy, which was to give up his son, he trusted him. Abraham was courageous and he was well respected, but he didn't always get it right. So sometimes he let fear get in the way, and sometimes he could be impatient. Sometimes he lied when put under pressure, and he also didn't fully trust in what God had promised him. So there we have Abraham. Thank you. Goodbye. And next on our list, we have Jacob. Now, Jacob was also known as one of the fathers of the Jewish nation. Hello, Jacob. Got a bit of a bad hip. Now, we know that Jacob wasn't always honest. In fact, he actively deceived his father and his brother out of his birthright. We know that Jacob had a whole lot of sons. He actually had 12, which is a lot of children. But he also showed favoritism to particular sons, which ended up causing a lot of problems to arise. So that was what Jacob did. Thank you. Okay.
So we've got two more Old Testament fathers. Yes, most of them have beards. Okay, this time King David. King David was the anointed king of Israel, and he was a strong and unassuming shepherd who became God's choice to replace Saul as king of Israel. David was humble, and his humility became clear in his early youth when he kills the giant Goliath with a sling stone, declining the opportunity to use Saul's royal armor. Woo! Possibly the most well-known of David's sins was his adultery with Bathsheba. David already had wives, but we've seen his inability to hold back his emotions and a carelessness with rules. But when Bathsheba conceives a child, David does eventually confess and begs for mercy. David was called a man of God's own heart because he was faithful to the Lord, and he was repentant when he did wrong, and he loved the Lord with all his heart. And God promised to make for David a great name and give him rest from all his enemies. Thank you, David. Last but not least, we have Joseph. Joseph was surely one of the most underrated fathers in the Bible. He was the foster father of Jesus. He went through great difficulties to protect his wife Mary and their baby, and he saw to Jesus' education and needs as he was growing up. Joseph taught Jesus the carpentry trade. The Bible calls Joseph a righteous man, and Jesus must have loved his guardian for his quiet strength, honesty, and kindness. Thank you, Joseph.
Okay, so we've looked there very briefly at some of the fathers in the Old Testament, most of who kind of messed up in some way, apart from Joseph, but obviously he was still human, so he wasn't without sin. But the point is that God was gracious and he used them. He worked through them. So it's important for us to remember that no one is perfect or made right with God on their own. Even the famous Old Testament fathers messed up and needed to be made right with God. We know that the law was given, so through Moses, to sort of help keep people from unrighteousness. But we have Jesus, and Jesus for us is the way to the Father, and he offers forgiveness. And it's the same God now who is still gracious and chooses to work through us despite our flaws and despite when we mess up and get it wrong.
Yeah, for sure. But I have a question. Does that mean that we can carry on just as we are when we know that there's stuff in our lives that separates us from God's holiness? No? I would dare say you're right. No, we should not. So, we are called to holiness and to work at our relationship with God and live in a way that is pleasing to him. We have Jesus as our example, and the good news is that the Holy Spirit is at work in us and can help us. We are all children of God and have the perfect Heavenly Father who loves us unconditionally, who is our Father God.
So, our Father God, he chooses to work through us when we align to his will. God the Father, the first person in the Trinity, is the Father and Creator of all. Jesus, his only Son, showed us a new, intimate way of relating to him. When we see God as our Heavenly Father, Provider, and Protector, it puts our lives in a whole new perspective. Every human father is also a son of this highest God, a constant source of strength, wisdom, and hope to his children everywhere. So in conclusion, what can we learn from God the Father? God is constant. He never changes. We can depend on him. He is faithful. God is love. And our Heavenly Father is an example for all earthly fathers to emulate. And then we're just going to finish with a little reading from Galatians, which Paul's going to read.
Thanks, Hannah. Yeah, so Paul's letter to the Galatians kind of continues to bring us back to Jesus. So Galatians 4:4-7. But when the right time finally came, God sent his own son. He came as the son of a human mother and lived under the Jewish law to redeem those who were under the law so that we might become God's sons and daughters. To show that you are his children, God sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts. The Spirit who cries out, Father, my Father. So then, you are no longer a slave, but a son or a daughter. And since that is what you are, God will give you all that he has for his heirs. Okay. So that's quite something to dwell on. Lord, I just want to pray to conclude, Lord Jesus. We are so grateful, Lord Jesus, for what you have done for us. We are so grateful, Father God, for your faith, your consistency, your love, that you work, you choose to work through us, broken people, as we saw with the fathers, some of the fathers of the Old Testament, Lord Jesus. We are all sinful, we are all broken, but you choose to work through us. So help us, Lord Jesus, to be humble. To be humble in your presence, to be humble at all times, to put pride to one side, and to serve you with everything that we can, Lord. May we reflect the love that you have for us. May we reflect the love that you have for your Son, that you gave for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we pray that you work in our lives this coming week, Lord. You work now as we have a time of fellowship once we finish this service, Lord. Just pray that you be at work in our hearts, that you continue to shape us, and may we always be open to being molded and sculpted and shaped into whatever shape that you want us to be, Lord Jesus. May we always be useful in your hands. Amen.